Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to a special edition of the Extra Rounds podcast. My name is Mike Dice. Thank you for watching on the Sports Illustrated MMA Facebook page. As you might notice, my co-host looks a little bit different. This week, instead of Elias, we have Jose Shorty Torres in studio, fresh off of his title defense in Titan FC to kind of talk. And it's just going to be a session of us just kind of chopping it up, talking all things MMA, your career in Titan FC, the things you do in Chicago, when you're going to fight in the UFC, those kind of things. But make sure if you have questions, feel free to drop it into the chat, and we will be keeping an eye on that, and we'll make sure to answer any of your questions that you have for Jose. Don't ask me questions. Ask him questions. He's the important person here. So first of all, let's talk about this win. Title defenses. Everybody seems focused on the two-weight title thing. That's like the end thing in MMA. But you're arguably the only one, or one of the only ones, defending both belts actively.
Yeah, you know, Conor McGregor was the forerunner with that. He was the guy who started in Cage Warriors. I think it was 14-2 when he finally won the second belt, but he never defended any of them. For me, I've won the two belts, and I defended both of them, which adds to my resume. I'm not just a champion. I'm a dominant one at that. Again, when I was fighting for Titan FC 46, I didn't have to take the fight against Gleason de Jesus. They offered me Gustavo Ballard at 125, but for me, I go, you know what, let me just show something that's different. You know, both of them are great fighters. I didn't believe they were both at my level. So I go, you know what, let me take something that's more intimidating, more dangerous, and more exciting for the fans. And I thought Gleason was, you know, going to be that fight, which he was. He was definitely a very, very game opponent. I mean, I got bumps and bruises. I'm still technically injured from that fight. But it showed the fans, and it shows the UFC that I'm not afraid to fight anyone who's in front of me, whether they're bigger, stronger, whatever the case may be. I'm trying to be a dominant champion, and hopefully a dominant champion in the UFC.
Now, you talked about taking bumps and bruises in that fight. It was a finish in the third round, which isn't necessarily early, but it's early for a title fight that goes five rounds.
Well, four rounds.
Mm-hmm. And but it wasn't. He had you kind of in danger at times throughout mm-hmm. the fight. And I think fighting at 135 presents like a bigger risk. It silences the doubters. How much of the part of that was that for you to silence doubters by defending that weight, the belt that's a weight class up?
I can tell you this, and this is no offense to, you know, my opponent or anything. It just wasn't my day. You know, I went in there not really wanting to fight. I wasn't trying to overlook Gleason because, again, he was a game opponent, as we all saw. But I'm ready for the next level. So when I went there, I wasn't excited for the fight, and it definitely showed while fighting. I got taken down real fast. I got beat up a little bit in the first round, and I definitely lost the first round, at least from what I saw. But eventually I started to get into it. In the third and fourth round, I started to move my head, but Gleason started to pick off, you know, calf kicks and you know, pretty much do the right thing. But I knew I cut him, and I knew I was able to push forward and get the fourth round submission. And I think I signified that I'm ready for the UFC again. I didn't have to fight the bigger, stronger guy, but I decided to do so. You know, Gleason was technically a step down in competition because he was 7-2 compared to my last two opponents were 17-7 and 18-2. But there's no other guys in Titan FC ranks that have 10-plus fights, you know, or at least 10-plus wins in that case. So I'm technically fighting the number one ranked guys, but, you know, I've already beaten the guys, you know, before them. So, you know, if I don't get called up to the UFC, who am I fighting? The number two guy next, number three guy next. And I'm pretty much doing what Demetrius Johnson's doing in the UFC, where he's just fighting whoever they put in front of him now. For me, my next level is the UFC. I get the opportunity. Just I'm waiting for the opportunity. I'm still waiting for that call.
Now, you mentioned your next contender and fighting in the UFC. A name that's come up is Jared Brooks. You guys have kind of talked from time to time. I don't know how authentic the
I wonder if he's watching.
What?
I said, I wonder if he's watching.
Yeah, maybe. What is that like? Is that the path you see since you've called them out in the cage afterwards? And this isn't the first time. And I know Lex McMahon's gone to bat for you with the UFC. Mm-hmm. And there's been discussions. I know that you've been blocked by important people in the UFC.
Hi, Mick.
Is that kind of the thing to do? Like, you feel like you just have to go on social media and kind of like pick a fight?
Sadly, in the same age with the whole Conor McGregor talking smack and all that stuff, yeah, a lot of people are now being the bad guy. Given I've never said any type of disrespect where I'm belittling somebody because of just random stuff I like to say. I think I'm spitting out facts. You know, Jared Brooks hasn't fought someone like me, and I honestly believe I'm ready for the next level. Jared Brooks is a guy I believe when he got signed, he was either 12-0 or 13-0, but he fought no one. The first real guy he fought was Eric Shelton, which, hey, man, he got the win. Big credit to him. I do believe he did win in Brazil. You know, so be it, he lost. And, again, in a Brazilian crowd, it's probably going to happen that way. But I want to give him his first real loss. I don't believe he's an entertaining fighter. He does a lot of laying and praying, and that's something that doesn't help the flyweight division get that excitement that it definitely needs. You know, the fight I'm really excited about, Cejudo versus Pettis. I think those fights, you know, Pettis versus Moreno, those fights were exciting. You know, Demetrius Johnson needs somebody who's willing to put it all. I think those two are ready for it, but Cejudo's already had his chance. I believe Pettis is going to be next if he wins this fight, and I definitely want to be the guy right after that.
Now, you mentioned Demetrius Johnson, and you're kind of doing in Titan FC what he's doing in the MMA or in the UFC, that he's kind of cleared out the division and it's just kind of he's recycling through contenders and there's nobody that really makes a desirable matchup, with the exception maybe TJ Dillashaw in the super fight. And do you feel like because of that, it's even more shocking that the UFC hasn't called you? You're a natural flyweight, even though you're the bantamweight champion on top of being the flyweight champion. But you're a guy with a long record at on the amateur side of things. You're undefeated, 6-0, 2-8 champion in Titan FC, which streams on Fight Pass. It seems like it's just so logical.
You know, there's a lot of factors that play onto it. I know the flyweight division is kind of being overwhelmed right now because of the Contender Series. The Contender Series, I believe, almost every single week had a flyweight fight. So they have a bunch of guys shelved on who they can, you know, possibly call up last minute. The only thing is, with my record and my accolades that I've been able to do in Titan FC, I don't believe I should be shelved. I don't believe I need a last-minute fight. I believe I deserve a contract and be able to be promoted respectfully to put on a great fight against, you know, top 10 guys. You know, I'm not afraid of whoever they put in front of me. And if it's Jared Brooks, I believe would be a feeder fight, then so be it. But I believe anyone in the top 10 is a great promotional aspect for me to fight against.
So you're friends with TJ Dillashaw. Mm-hmm. You've trained together a bunch. Are you like, TJ, come on, put in a good word for me when you see Sean Shelby?
Hey, he was here this weekend teaching at the UFC gym in South Loop, and him and I definitely talked about it. And, you know, sadly, Sean Shelby's not my matchmaker. We definitely have to go through Mick Maynard first. No matter what Sean Shelby says, it really, at the end of the day, goes through Mick. And if it goes past Mick, then we have to, you know, try our best to hit up Dana White. But, man, that's definitely the harder part. But, you know, we're definitely waiting to the end of the week to try to get into contact with Mick Maynard, just because they're coming back from, is it Shanghai that they went to?
Yep.
So we're going to give them, you know, a couple of days to recoup, relax, and
get over the jet lag.
Yeah, get over the jet lag. And just, you know, he's already blocked me enough, so I don't want to annoy him anymore. So trying to figure out what's best for him, you know, and figuring out where it goes from there.
And if you're watching, feel free to drop in questions, and we'll try to get to them at some point in the show. You mentioned Dana White Contender Series. Mm-hmm. Did they ever reach out to you about going that route?
So, sadly, when I beat Farkad Sherpov, I broke my hand, tore my MCL. In that process of, I believe it was 3.5 to 4 month process of rehab, they called me 4 times. And actually, the last time I was on the show, they called me right here. And they go, hey, we want you to find the Contender Series. 3 times they called me. 3 times I had to say no. Sadly, I was injured. There's nothing I can do about that. And they respect that. And then finally, the last week, they called me to fight Justin Scoggins out of a 10-day notice, which would be an awesome fight. I believe Justin Scoggins is an exciting fighter, mainly because of his karate and wrestling style. But I just couldn't take it. I was still injured, and I definitely still wanted at least a month to 2 month training camp to make sure that I'm healthy and I can get back at it. My hand's not damaging. My knee can move. And, you know, I was able to do that and, you know, get this fight that I did with Gleason. But sadly, I haven't received a call after this fight, which is kind of surprising. It's almost about 2 weeks since I beat Gleason, and I think it was a very fan-entertaining fight and a finish at that. You know, the two guys that I've defended my belt against, I have finished. The two flyweights that I have fought, I have finished. I've actually knocked out both of them, and the flyweight division is my division, even though I fought bantamweight, I believe, 4 times so far out of my 6 fights. You know, and I'm only bumping up to show the UFC I'm ready for pretty much whoever, and I want exciting fights. I don't want anything where I believe is an easy fight. Again, that's why I'm bumping up. So I'm really just I'm hoping not just for a call, but I'm hoping for a contract. That's my ultimate goal.
Nick, you mentioned getting the calls on short notice and being injured. If you were cleared like by a doctor and like you weren't like you're not injured, and then as soon as you walk out of the doctor's office, they call you and they're like, you can have this fight in 2 weeks. That's still not enough time for you to get in shape, right? After
it's definitely not enough time. It really depends on the opponent and depends on the opportunity. You know, if it is a bigger fight, that definitely would be, you know, a popular fight, whether win or lose. It'd be, you know, a great fight to take, kind of like the whole TJ Dillashaw versus, who was it, Joe Soto or something Soto?
UFC 177.
You know, that guy just randomly jumped in there and was like, screw it, I'll take it. You know, that was the biggest opportunity of his life. And because of that, he's, I don't know what he's doing now in the UFC, but I know he got, you know, I believe he had two or three more fights in that, but people knew who he was because of that opportunity. You know, if it's an opportunity like that, then yeah, I'm more than willing to take it. But if it's something that's very low, probably like a UFC Fight Pass prelims fight, then I probably wouldn't take that.
Now, this is just a random thought that came into my head, mm-hmm. but since we're talking about TJ and him fighting Joe Soto, he's also fought John Dodson, who mm-hmm. was a flyweight. So you ever kind of compared how you guys match up?
No, I mean, you know, I've been able to spar with both John Dodson and TJ Dillashaw, which is definitely fun with both. I definitely have, actually I have a lot of fun with both of them. They're definitely a pleasure to work with. They're just a pleasure to hang out and learn from. But, I don't know. You know, I'm excited to see what TJ decides to do. If Demetrius Johnson actually does accept that fight, I think it would be a bad decision for Demetrius Johnson, just because look what Dominic Cruz was able to do to DJ when he got a hold of him. But the thing is, Dominic Cruz wasn't a dominant wrestler like TJ is. TJ is a multiple-time All-American in Division I, and I believe with his attacking style and movement and his strength, and I can definitely, you know, say on firsthand, TJ is pretty strong for being a small bantamweight, and he can easily make flyweight. So I'm excited to see that fight if it does happen. You know, fingers crossed, I think it'll be a fan-entertaining fight because both are ready to stand and bang and do whatever. I think they're the best two in the sport right now, honestly. But and John Dodson, sadly, you know, he lost to Marlon Moraes, so I'm excited to see what's next for him. I thought John Dodson did win that fight, but again, so be it. I'm not a judge. I'm just excited to see what's next for me, whether I fight those guys in my future or not. But I know both of them are definitely rooting for me and hoping that I get into UFC very soon.
And this is another just weird thought that's come up in the course of our conversation. Mm-hmm. If they were to do the super fight, it seems like the kind of thing that they might tie into Tough or the Ultimate Fighter, and they might have TJ coach against Mighty Mouse. That seems like something that could happen. Would you, in that situation, do you think TJ would have you come on as an assistant coach on his team?
I definitely like that. I hope so. Mainly because where I'm at in my career would be just amazing publicity for me. But he knows I can coach, and he knows I have my fair share of little tendencies that I believe I can teach a lot of the guys. But it also depends on what type of show it is. If it is those two guys coaching, maybe it'll be a small person show. Maybe I'll be a contestant. You never know. So
you would go that route to get into the UFC?
I wouldn't be a fan of it. I can definitely honestly say that. I wouldn't be a fan of it because, again, I think the Contender Show is a fantastic show. But with all my accolades, I don't believe I need to be on a show like that to prove once again that I should be in the UFC. I think everything I've been able to do in the six fights of being a 57-21 record, that I should be in the UFC. But again, if the UFC wants that, and that's what the UFC, you know, really implies that I have to do just to get in there, then so be it.
And you're just 25 when you throw out that 57 number, to kind of put that in context.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is insane. People talk about, you know, Alistair Overeem, I think, has 50 some of the professional fights. That's just an insane amount to have so far in your career. We have a question from somebody in the chat who's watching, Nick Turnbow. He says, Shorty, who would you want to fight as your first opponent in the UFC?
Oh, man, I don't know. That'd be a lot of fun. There's a lot of guys I definitely look at and look up to that I think would be a lot of fun. Tim Elliott's definitely one of them. Him and I actually shared a house for 2 weeks in Denver when he was getting ready for Demetrius Johnson. And him and I looked at each other and we go, it'd be really fun to fight each other just because of our styles. I'm very aggressive. He's very random, and he definitely never quits. So I know that would be a fun fight. But I don't know. I think just to prove a point, I would love to fight Jared Brooks. I believe my fighting style against him would probably bring the best out of Jared Brooks and make it a very fan entertaining fight, something that he's not given yet to the fans.
Now, do you think Jared Brooks is the right fight just strictly because of that? Or do you think he kind of talks a little bit. He's mm-hmm. gotten his name out there a little bit. Do you think like he's a marketable opponent?
I definitely don't believe he's a marketable opponent, but with his record, I believe he's 13-1, 14-1 now. It's definitely going to, you know, add to my resume of guys I've beaten with a huge record. I believe he's patented his record pretty well, but again, he's fought no one like me, and I believe anyone in the flyweight division, I can definitely say no one's fought anyone like me because of my accolades.
Now, Elias isn't here, but he sent along some questions, so I want to ask the questions that he asked.
Sorry, Elias, this is permanent. I'm here forever.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, he really adorns the set better than you do, no offense, and better than I do for that matter. But he said, everyone wants to win fast. What are these tough fights giving you in terms of valuable experience? What are you learning about yourself through injuries, tough spots, that maybe other fighters with just six, I think is what he meant, pro fights, don't know about themselves?
Man, I can tell you this. One is the conditioning. You really start to know how much you need to work for your next fight to get that conditioning in. And after that conditioning goes away, it's honestly just the heart and how much you want to win in the fight. I mean, Gleeson and I both were bleeding, you know, bloody, trying to push forward and really going back and forth in the third and fourth round. And he really started to land the calf kicks. I think another big thing I learned was maybe I should shin block a little more and not put so much weight on my front leg because calf kicks do suck. But honestly, it's the heart and determination how bad you want to win. I mean, fourth round, I was starting to die out, and that was the first time where my adrenaline never really kicked in. You know, compared to when I broke my hand, tore my MCL, I was on an adrenaline high where in the fifth round, I still wasn't breathing. You know, after the fight, I was like, cool, this is perfect compared to this fight. Fourth round, right after I finished and choked him out, I mean, it was kind of, if anyone watches Age of Ultron, where you know, Iron Man's punching the Hulk in the face, and it's like, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. That was pretty much me trying to choke out Gleason in my head. I was like, just go to sleep, please. Just go to sleep, because I was that was all I had left. You know, if you got out of that choke, it definitely would have been a different situation possibly, you know, so it really starts to show how much heart you do have for the fight. And, you know, I'm glad I had that heart and determination, but I can say fighting four or five rounds, mainly championship rounds in the high caliber fights against very, very tough opponents, you really start to learn about yourself, what you need to do in your next fight, need to do in your next practice, and where you are mentally prepared and, you know, just for the situation itself.
Did you, going back, looking at, kind of find what happened with the adrenaline dump? Was it just the coming off the injury, being away, the ring rust people point to?
There was definitely ring rust, and I know I definitely pointed that out. But, again, I wasn't excited for the moment. You know, every single fight, I'm smiling. I'm going out there having a lot of fun. But this fight, even my coaches are like, come on, remember what you're doing this for? You know, they were really trying to hype me up. They're like, we don't like your attitude. We don't like the way you're walking out. But I'm glad in a sense that even at my worst, I was still able to beat a high caliber fighter like Gleason. I definitely wasn't at my best, and I definitely didn't show the usual Jose Shorty Torres that I could be, where I'm very dominant in the first round. I'm very pushy. But I kept my head still. I decided to stand still and take a lot of shots and get more prideful and make it a lot tougher of a matchup than it definitely should have been.
There's a funny comment I want to read. Zach Best said that the show could be rebranded "Doesn't Need the Extra Rounds Podcast" by Jose Shorty Torres, which I would presume means that I'm gone and it's just you by yourself now. But that's interesting that you say that, and your mind not going into it. And we're talking about you feeling like you deserve to be in the UFC. Like, did that play a factor to that?
It definitely played a factor. Where, again, I was trying my best not to overlook Gleason because I knew he was a tough opponent. I didn't believe he was at my level, and I felt like I could have finished him at any time, but I wasn't mentally there, and I think that's the biggest problem. You know, everyone has skills, but if you're not mentally there in your fight, nothing's going to come out, nothing's going to really show. So I definitely didn't fight at my best because of it, but, you know, it's one of those things that I need to be intimidated by these opponents. I need to know that there is a good chance of me losing for me to train, you know, my best and for me to fight at my best. You know, if I'm fighting guys that I believe I can beat very easily, I think Tapology had me winning, you know, as the odds breaker, they had me winning 95% to 5%. You know, so everyone believed I was going to win, which is awesome. I love the support, but I like being the underdog. I like being doubted, and I like coming back from adversity and really beating some guy that's above me compared to, again, Gleason Jesus. They didn't have the record. He didn't have the accolades. He didn't have any big names that he's beaten. That was his first big name, and I know if he would have won that fight, that would have been a life-changing opportunity for him, but it wasn't.
Now we have another question from Jose Youngs in the chat. He says, would you jump to Bellator if they offered you a contract?
Right now, no, mainly because they don't have a flyweight division. You know, I think flyweight is my division, and if we saw my last two fights, even though I was able to beat both Farkad Sherifov and Gleason Jesus, it's very hard to finish bigger, stronger guys. You know, yes, I can get the submission, but, you know, I'm punching the hell out of these guys, and they're not going down. You know, and I think that's the biggest attribute. I like to stand up. I like to put on a show. But if I'm wasting my energy against bigger, stronger guys that can take so many punches, it's really hard to break them down.
And then we have another question from Elias. Is the idea behind having a lot of amateur fights, which we were talking about, and fighting top prospects at pro, that you want to be ready to fight for the title the second you get to the UFC?
I definitely want to pace myself. Yeah, I'm only 25 years old. I definitely have a lot of time, you know, in my career. I don't want to end up like, what was the guy who fought Demetrius Johnson? Was it Horiguchi? Or?
Oh.
The Japanese guy, very good karate, Shotokan black belt. And I believe he's now in Risen. But I don't want to end up like, you know, going up facing the best in the world and just not being ready for the moment or being outclassed. You know, I mean, you saw what Demetrius Johnson was able to do against him, against Ray Borg, and how, what was the guy, William Hayes. Uh-huh. You know, it's Demetrius Johnson's the best in the world, and I want to be the best possible Jose Shorty Torres to, you know, take that crown. And, you know, right now I definitely want to move slow. I'm not anywhere near my prime yet. I'm only 25 years old, and I have a lot of time to, you know, definitely prepare for that fight.
Since you've ran through some of Demetrius Johnson's fights, random question. What was more impressive, the Henry Cejudo fight when he beat him in the first round, or that fifth round suplex into the armbar against Ray Borg?
I would say the fifth round suplex, because he prolonged the fight. He didn't need to do that. You could tell he was just toying with Ray Borg, and Ray Borg's a good fighter. You know, I've been able to spar with him as well, but he was able to toy with a young up-and-comer like Ray Borg and really push his buttons and really just frustrate him and do, honestly, whatever he wanted against him. That showed the best possible Demetrius Johnson in the world. He didn't just defend the belt. He dominated that fight and toyed. Compared to Henry Cejudo, I don't believe Henry Cejudo was an MMA fighter when he fought Demetrius Johnson. I believe his fight against William Hayes definitely showed a huge improvement. And even against Joseph Benavidez, he definitely showed that he's ready not just to be a wrestler, but to be a boxer as well and to be a stand-up fighter. I think he's really starting to mix it up. Against William Hayes, he dominated. And I think, you know, I do believe William Hayes is out of his prime and definitely towards the end of his career, but he's still a good fighter. You know, he's definitely top five still. And, you know, Cejudo, I think, is going to have a great fight against Pettis, and I think that's a very, very close fight. I really don't know which one that's going to go towards, but I think the more dominant win was against Ray Borg, because Ray Borg is an overall MMA fighter.
Now, we have another question from Nicole. How does training with bantamweight champion TJ Dillashaw affect your confidence knowing you go up against the best on a daily basis?
It's a huge confidence boost. Mainly, I think the first time, besides, you know, TJ, I think the first time I really had the confidence boosters when I first went down to Jackson Wink and I was fighting for my first title against Abdiel Velasquez. Abdiel Velasquez is a very elusive guy, likes to move around a lot, switches stances, and just kind of throws whenever you know, become stationary. Well, I was training with John Dawson and Cub Swanson to get ready for the fight, and those guys have already created their legacies and been, you know, they switch stances all the time. They move around. They're so fast. Cub being bigger, longer, and Dotson being much faster and stronger. It was definitely a huge confidence boost to know that I was doing well against these guys and able to hold my own. And then when I fought Abdiel Velasquez, I was like, this guy hasn't fought anyone like Cub Swanson or John Dotson, and he hasn't fought anyone like me. You know, being able to prepare for this guy, I mean, he's not going to have the same training partners I had. So I was a lot more prepared. Same thing with TJ getting ready for Farcaw, Pedro Nobre, and now this fight. Again, I'm defending my bantamweight championship in Titan FC, which is great, but it's not anything like defending the bantamweight championship in the UFC. And, you know, now TJ is a two-time UFC, you know, world champ, and it's definitely shows in his training, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. And it just makes me that much better because of it.
Okay. That's a lot of great information about your MMA career. We could talk about it all day. It's super fascinating. Maybe let's transition to some other things that you do outside of MMA. One of the things before we kind of get into some of your side projects I wanted to talk about was fandoms. We do the Fandom 250 on FanSided, where we rank the best fans in the world. So I was kind of curious to see, what are you a fan of? What do you like to dedicate your free time when you're not training and fighting the best in the world to?
Man, that's really hard. I really don't know.
This is open to TV shows, movies, you know, sports,
it's
comics.
It's crazy because I really don't know. Because all I do is, actually, if my fight, if I didn't end up, you know, being injured with all the calf kicks, I was immediately going to go to Arizona, help Frankie Sines get ready for his fight in Fresno. And then after that, come back home and start getting ready for my next fight, whenever that was possibly going to be. So I've been so used to just being on the ball of just going and going and going and going. So there's really no free time. Yeah, I don't really have a social life. The usual social life I had, or the most social life I had since I was a kid, was when I had my injury and I was doing rehab, because I definitely didn't have to train as much because I couldn't. But yeah, this is 100% all I do. And if I'm not doing anything, I'm usually here with you or doing interviews or doing something to better my career. I'm really trying to be at the top of my game, you know, as fast as possible.
Are you? Random question that came to me again. Are you going to be able to fight anyone in the flyweight division after you've trained with everybody?
Yeah, I know. Well, see, you know, I don't have an ego. And that's the biggest reason why I like to jump camps and just train everywhere I go. I don't mind who I train with. You know, Sergio Pettis, you know, we Snapchat all the time and we have a lot of fun. But we know eventually we're going to have to fight each other someday. Again, we're all after the same goal. It just so happens we're on each other's way. You know, so it's a sport. It's a business. That shouldn't affect our friendship, and it shouldn't affect anything. You know, so helping each other along the way to get to the top, I think that's awesome to know that there's that type of camaraderie together.
Okay. Well, let's talk about something good you do for the community. You are doing a toy drive with Eat Clean Chicago. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so actually Eat Clean Chicago is doing a toy drive where you can donate all your toys to Platinum Fades and Remax Partners. pretty much on December 15th, I will be going to Loyola Hospital in Maywood with eClean Chicago, and we're going to donate all the toys to the kids with cancer and the kids who definitely need support, who can't be home for Christmas. You know, eClean Chicago came up to me, brought up the idea, and I think it's an amazing thing. You know, for me, for example, I'm supposed to commentate for Titan FC 47 December 15th, later on that night, but I told them I'm not flying in early. I want to push everything back so I can fly in that night to the event. I want to do the toy drive no matter what, because this is a huge thing. You know, Christmas, it's always about giving back. And well, this year, you know, we're all trying to give back together. eClean Chicago, myself, want to, you know, take pictures with the kids, give out toys, and do anything we possibly can to make them feel a little bit better and make them feel more at home.
So you're going straight from the toy drive to commentate at Titan FC.
Yeah, so I'm going
across halfway across the country.
Yeah, so I'm going to the toy drive, and I'm more likely going to have a flight from. It starts at 10 a.m. We'll do the toy drive, have a lot of fun with that, have a lot of fun with the kids. I'll bring both my belts so all the kids can take pictures and give posters away and stuff like that.
And those aren't light.
Yeah, so this should be fun. And I mean, that's the cool thing about it is that once the, you know, I go to high schools and elementary schools and take pictures with kids, but they grab my belt, they're like, oh yeah, it's cool. And then they grab it and they're like, oh my God, this thing's legit, it's heavy, you know. So they definitely respect it more and have a lot of fun and appreciation because of it. But yeah, I'll be doing the toy drive and then an hour and a half to make my flight right after, and I'll be flying down to Miami doing the commentating and flying back the next day to do whatever else I need to do.
The heavy belts probably make you seem more like a superhero in the eyes of the kids just because like you have to lift this on a regular basis.
Dude, it's horrible. It is a horrible. That's the worst thing about being a double A class champ is you have to carry both belts at all times.
So I was making my wife watch these old WWE videos the other night, and one of them was Daniel Bryan after he won at WrestleMania, and he had hurt his shoulder, and he does like the yes chant. He was like, mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to do with when you're with both belts. And I never really understood it until I picked one of those up, and I was like, I could see why this would be really hard to like pump both belts in the air at the same time. Those things are heavy.
Dude, it's horrible. They actually have a photo, which we never posted because it was, you just saw the strain in my face. We're doing the photos right before weigh-ins, which, you know, I'm a little tired, but I'm fine. I'm at melee at 35. Yeah, I'm technically cutting weight, not too much at 35, but they're like, oh, hold both belts up like this. And, you know, I'm just like, oh man, you got 5 seconds. Ready? Go. You know, and I'm just struggling. My face is getting red, and they're like, we can't even Photoshop this. We're not even going to use it. So it's, you know, it's definitely a struggle, but doing the toy drive and having the kids see the belts and just take pictures, you know, whether, you know, whatever their illness is, or just, it's nice to give back, you know. It's, and I do stuff for the community as well, but, you know, doing this toy drive and again, being able to give kids something that, again, they can't go home. You know, it's a big thing, and it's awesome to know that I'm able to be part of this.
Now, Eat Clean Chicago promotes healthy eating, mm-hmm. right, amongst kids. Had you worked with them before? Did they just kind of reach out because you were doing the school kind of tour and circuit?
Actually, so Eat Clean Chicago has been around for about 2 years, as long as my professional career. And they're guys who went to high school with me, started their own business, and I was their very first sponsor. So I've been growing with them since pretty much day one. You know, giving me my own promotion code, ShortyT25. Anybody wants to Eat Clean Chicago, 10% off your whole order of meal preps. They deliver right to your door, which is awesome. But I'm actually on it right now, so I'm getting back in shape after my fat week. It's definitely been helping me out. But it's... They've been a huge help. I wish, the only hard part is all my training camps are always outside the state, you know, so they don't mail over states. But I definitely, anytime I'm here, I definitely try to take as much advantage as possible of one, the meals, two, I can't complain because they're actually really good. And because usually everyone's like, oh, healthy meal preps, it's the typical chicken, broccoli, rice, you know, but this is, I have carne asada for a meal prep, which is awesome. It's like an actual cookout. I had steak on the way here, actually, and some sweet potato. But
that was, you know, part of your Eat Clean Chicago thing?
Yeah, yeah. In the morning, I had some blueberry. I had some blueberry muffins, some turkey bacon, and an egg. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I have some breakfast. And again, everything's delivered right to your door, and you're able to just heat it up 2 minutes, and there you go. You know, mainly for me, I'm always on the go. I'm always on the road. I was actually eating while driving here because I was running late, and just worked out well. But yeah, Eat Clean Chicago, they, you know, I'm not a person that you know, tries to take advantage of everything. You know, I do enjoy my sponsors, but I like to give back as well. And Eat Clean Chicago and I have definitely partnered up a lot. And this is probably going to be the biggest partnership with this toy drive and using my name. I think the kids are going to really have a really, really good time.
Now, if somebody wants to help with the toy drive and they're local, can they bring the toys somewhere?
Yeah, so they can deliver them to any of the Platinum Fades locations. There's 14 around the Chicago area. And then the REMAX partners in, I believe, Berwyn. It's on Ridgeland and Cermak Avenue. And just overall, you're able to, you know, donate the toys there. And from there, we, you know, gather up all the toys that are suitable for the kids. And then, you know, we take them to the Loyola Hospital in Maywood. And we'll do the photo shoots and everything at 10 a.m. and just have a really good time with them. And I'm really excited to... you know, just see the kids' faces when they get new toys and, you know, get to hold these belts. And, again, the kids might not know me, but being able to hold a legit belt, I see a lot of kids just having a lot of, you know, getting a lot of pleasure out of it.
Now, if you are out of state, is there a way that you can participate?
Yeah, so if anyone actually goes to Eat Clean Chicago in either their Facebook, Instagram, or social media pages just overall, they do have it as their pinned post. So it's at the very top. Anything, there is a video with Eat Clean Chicago and myself, given all the locations at the end of the video and in the description. So if you want to mail it in, you're able to mail it in to REMAX Partners in Burwell, Illinois, or any of the Platinum Fades in the Chicagoland area.
And you mentioned going to commentate for Titan FC. Lex McMahon seems like he's always puts the fighters first. He's a big, you know, he's a big help trying to get his fighters into the UFC. When you told him, like, I want to fly in after this toy drive, what was his response?
He was just like, ah, oh, man, it's going to be really hard to find a flight, but as long as I make it there in time, it's perfectly fine. You know, he definitely wants to promote me as much as possible. I do believe I am the poster boy of Titan FC because of being the double weight class champ and what I've been able to do. But he definitely wants me there, and he understands that this is for a great cause. You know, he wasn't like, oh, you're just being like a drama queen or you want to do whatever you want. This is for a good cause, and he definitely understood that.
Now, you've commentated before. What's your process like when you're preparing to commentate for a fight? Do you put a lot of emphasis on talking to the fighters in the fight week or studying tape?
No, I honestly do study tape. Luckily for me, I know most of the guys, and I do, you know, as you see now, like I remember a lot of the fights. That's something that just sticks in my head is fighters going against certain fighters and how they fought against them. And for me, I know most of the guys in the cards already, so I don't have to look back at much film. But when I commentated in Brave, when I commentated for The Last Titan, you definitely have to look at the film and just be prepared. And you know, Usman is one of those guys that I look up to because he commentates so well, mainly for my fights, because he knows what I'm going to do. Him and I fight very similarly. So just being prepared and knowing what they're going to do next or what they should do overall. I mean, you can't just be a play-by-play commentator and just kind of go, oh, he's punching him in the face. Like, yeah, you're just kind of stating the obvious. But what if it gets in the ground? Oh, what submissions are they trying to do? What are they trying to transition to? What does he need to do to escape and do all that? So you have to have that type of knowledge and understanding of what that fighter is going to do. And it's a hard job, but if you really love the sport and really enjoy it, you're going to start to learn and catch on pretty quick with it.
When you're doing it, do you assume that the viewer doesn't know anything and you're trying to explain to somebody who might be watching for the first time, or do you kind of assume there's some baseline of knowledge?
Yeah, you have to. Sadly, you know, sometimes we'll just skip into it and just say the move, like, oh, it's a Darce choke, but we won't explain the move in detail depending on how fast the situation's going. But if it's, you know, at a standstill a little bit, then we can explain what the fighter specifically needs to do. He needs to move to the left. He needs to lift his left arm up to get out of position or whatever the case may be. But it really depends on the situation on how fast the momentum's going in the fight.
So when you're commentating Titan FC, same night as the toy drive, what are you going to be doing on the plane? Are you going to be resting, or are you going to be cramming notes?
You know, it's funny, actually. So the Dapper Club here in Chicago, they're making me a custom suit. And I told them, I was like, this is a perfect...
Kind of like icon status in MMA once you start getting a custom suit.
Yeah, I know.
Like Cody Garbrandt, after he got the title, was getting custom
suits. This is my
first
time I ever had a suit. The last time I had a suit, I rented, you know, for prom. So I'd never officially owned a suit.
I've seen that picture on Facebook.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah, I have two of them. That was definitely my mobster status. But I've never owned a suit. So the Dapper Club is hooking me up with a suit. We're actually getting fitted again this weekend. And I told them the best opportunity would be December 15th because I'm commentating. I'll be on camera. It'd be awesome to really show it off. So I don't have time to change and really figure out everything. I won't have time to get there and iron my stuff. So I'm going to do the toy drive in a really, really nice tailored suit and giving out with my belt. So I'm going to walk in looking like a legit professional to these kids and immediately flying on the plane with my suit and then just walking straight into the event and just, you know, getting the job over and done with and then flying back in my suit. I'm not even taking another outfit.
Really?
I'm just gonna go.
You're not even gonna have like a bag. You're not even gonna crash in a hotel room. You're coming back to Chicago after the event.
See, I'm pretty fun when it comes to being very, very random. So I'm gonna probably go there in my suit and then leave in my onesie. I'm more than likely gonna do that.
You did, I think, an interview with James Lynch in one of the onesies, right? It has like the hood.
A stitch onesie.
Yeah. Okay, I've done the UFC at some point, fly in for like an event, and then fly back out like that same night. I would try to get like the first flight out the next morning.
Yeah,
and it's not easy, and I can't imagine how hard it would be to after having done a toy drive earlier in the day. I always like, I'm gonna try and sleep as much as I can before I do this like all nighter kind of trip. Like, what are you gonna sleep for like the whole Friday before?
I really don't know how it's gonna go. And that's the best thing about me is I never know. I really just wing it and see where it goes. I'm a huge fan of improvisation, and I really do like awkward moments. So me being in a onesie or in a tuxedo or whatever the case may be when I'm on a plane, I think it's hilarious just to see people's reactions and just kind of go with it from there.
Now, let's talk about your roots in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You have a mural on a building in Chicago now. Three murals?
Mm-hmm.
I've just seen the big one where you have both belts.
Yeah, I have three of them.
Do you know the stats on how many people have multiple murals of them on yourself? Like, where do you compare to Chance the Rapper?
Oh, I have no clue with Chance the Rapper, but there's three of them. One on, I believe, 49th and Pulaski, or around that area, right before you hit Archer. It's on, actually on a barbershop called Made, and it's a two-story mural, you know, so you can't miss it. And it's actually drawn by my brother. It's one of those things that he started drawing and illegally drawing it. Yeah, it wasn't a permission wall. He started just randomly drawing myself because my brother's my biggest fan. And so he started drawing me, and all these people were like, hey, what are you doing? But the outline was already done. And he started explaining my story, and these guys were like, you know what? Yeah, finish it. We like the idea. So they allowed my brother to finish
the barbershop.
Yeah. They started finishing the two-story mural. When it was done, I don't know where they had a lot of attendance of people just coming to take pictures and just have fun. And I don't know, I'm getting tagged on Facebook with all these pictures of just people taking, you know, next to the mural. And I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. I'm still in, I think at the time I'm in California, so I haven't been able to see it. And then the town of Cicero asked for a mural as well, where I live right now. So the town of Cicero has a mural on 31st and Austin, right under the Viaduct. And so every time people drive by, I see people, you know, on the snatch, they're like, hey, there goes Shorty, and, you know, just having a lot of fun. And again, Cicero's where I've pretty much grown up for about 15, 16 years now. So a lot of people know me and a lot of people respect me. So having that mural up is, I'm getting a lot of praise for it, you know, because people knew the way I grew up in high school, and I was just that cocky teenager, party animal, having a lot of fun, was careless and reckless, and seeing all this stuff. Now people are really starting to respect what I'm doing. And I believe there's another one in Ukraine Village. I'm not too sure, somewhere on the north side. And again, I'm just having a lot of people send me pictures, and it's really cool to have a lot of people support me through that.
Do you know the story behind the Ukraine Village one, or is that just somebody, a fan?
No. I mean, my brother's drawn them all, but the thing is, they call for it. You know, so people now are like, hey, we want this mural of Shorty. I think it'd be really cool to have this here. And then my brother does his own little piece somewhere on the side. So it's really cool that, you know, one, my brother's getting jobs because of, you know, just painting me. And two is people want me on there. It's not just, you know, him doing random graffiti and putting me up there. They're actually asking for me and trying to say that this guy is a role model to a lot of kids, and it's some type of inspiration. So that's exactly what I'm trying to be. Is, you know, we've done plenty of interviews before where I go, hey, I want to be a hero. I want to be a role model. Well, I'm now technically being a part of it, because you only see people being painted if they're great, great athletes or great role models, or they're dead. You know, so it's really cool that I'm not dead, but I'm definitely being a really good role model. I'm really happy about that.
You put a lot of effort into being a good role model. Mm-hmm. I know you come back to your school in Chicago. You speak to schools in Chicago, but you come back to Combat Doe, mm-hmm, and talk with the kids, and you go back to IMAF to support all the amateurs competing. But do you feel like you're kind of got, in Chicago at least, getting to that celebrity status yet, or is it still
a little bit? You know, I try not to. Again, I try my best not to take advantage of any little situations like that. You know, again, I do believe I'm a normal person. I'm trying to stay as humble as possible, no matter what or how many belts are on this table, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm just happy again that people support me and people know who I am now. You know, I started to work out again this week after my giant fat week. You know, I wasn't able to walk, so I'm like, I'm going to eat whatever. And so on Monday, I started working out again, and I go to Export Fitness in Lyons, Illinois, and just walking in, people are like, oh, man, congrats on your fight. And people I've never seen before, you know. So they're like, oh, congrats on your fight. They know my stats. They know, you know, what my last five fights were, my last six fights were. They know my amateur career. They know all this stuff. I'm like, oh, man, this is pretty cool. You know, this is what TJ gets. You know, I saw him at UFC gym in Southwood, and everyone wanted to take a picture with him. And then when he had to, you know, go use the washroom, they couldn't take a picture with him. They all were like, hey, Shorty's here. And I was like, oh, hey, this is cool, you know. So it's really cool to have that notoriety and everyone really starting to recognize who I am and really starting to appreciate what I do.
Have you had a weird, like, fan moment? Like, walking into the gym and saying hi, like, okay, that's not so weird. But, like, have you had something, like, completely off the wall happen?
I get a lot of people hitting on me on Instagram, which is funny. But
he's spoken for.
Yeah, I get a lot of guys that hit on me from, like, overseas. It's really, I'm like, okay, cool, I guess I'm attractive. The only thing, I don't have any awkward moments talking to fans. The only, I guess I would say, awkward moments is that it just goes too long. You know, like, I don't mind saying hello for a while or, like, a five-minute conversation, but it's, like, sometimes I'm in a rush or sometimes I'm trying to do things. I don't want to be rude, but I'm like, hey, I got to go, man.
Right.
Like, and they're just going and going and going and going. So sometimes...
Hold on, I still have five more questions.
Yeah, it's like, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I got to go.
Can you call my friend?
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, here, talk to my secretary, which is myself. So...
Now, you're going around to schools and to teach students. We've kind of talked a little bit, like, going and speaking to role models. How much have you done that since, you know, in the past few months?
So yesterday, I actually talked to the town of Cicero in an actual town meeting, and they want me to talk to Lincoln Elementary, Unity Junior High School, and possibly my high school, Morton East. So I'm hoping to do that in the month of December. From what I know, I will be here for the whole month, besides after the toy drive for that one day. But I want to be here as much as possible. So if anybody knows any schools or just any events that they want me to come to just to speak to, that's something I really want to do. You know, and that's something I volunteer myself to do of really trying to inspire kids and say, hey, you know, I'm a shorty from the neighborhood too. If I can make it, why can't you? You know, and that's really what I'm trying to get into the kids' heads is I went to my high school to talk to some of the kids for wrestling. And a lot of them are like, oh, man, they want me to bump up weight. Oh, I can't do that because this guy is huge. I was like, that's like only 6 pounds, 5 pounds. You're a growing teenager. You're fine. Oh, but this guy is strong, all this stuff. It's like my last fight, the guy was 10 pounds, and I'm getting punched and kicked in the face. It's okay. You're fine. What's the worst that can happen? You lose? This is a learning experience. You got to enjoy the challenge compared to going in there and already, you know, in a sense, giving up before you got it, you know, gotten in there. So I'm trying to give kids confidence and not have that fear of being content where they are and actually trying to really start to think that I can be another Jose Shorty Torres, if not better too.
Has the high school retired your singlet? Are you in the high school Hall of Fame yet?
I'm in my high school's wall forever because I was a state qualifier in wrestling. I think that'd be awesome to have both my junior college and my high school to retire something for me. I think that'd be really, really cool. Maybe just retire the nickname Shorty, but
there you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I need.
Or, you know, rebrand the gymnasium or something.
Yeah, something. Like. Yeah, have a Shorty logo somewhere.
The Shorty locker room.
Yeah, so it's really cool, and that's something I want to do is, again, give back to my high school, because, again, if it wasn't for my high school and all the teachers surrounding me with some type of positivity or some type of influence, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Same thing with my junior college, and you know, I have left my mark, and I'm continuing to leave whatever mark I still can. But what I'm able to do now is, you know, show kids when I fight on TV or fight on UFC Fight Pass, is show that I'm not giving up. Whether if it's punching, getting punched in the face or an office job or whatever the case may be, I'm not giving up, and I'm pushing forward and trying to achieve my goals no matter what type of adversity I face in front of me.
Now, you mentioned talking to the town of Cicero.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of something new. Like, you, I know you go and talk to students, and I think I understand, but, like, what were you talking to the town of Cicero about? Just like, I love Cicero.
I love Cicero. Help
Sorry
me, please.
For the mural.
So we came in, and actually we came in with my two belts just trying to show, like, hey, man, I'm a kid from Cicero. You guys have helped raise me for 15 years. You know, I definitely want to give recognition to Larry Dominic for building all the stuff he's been able to do for the kids, because when I was a kid in Cicero, I wasn't able to do a skate park. They didn't have a skate park in Cicero. They had it in Stickney or Berwyn or in Chicago, and I had to go to different towns to have fun or just any little things. But now all these kids have these opportunities to, in a sense, get out of the street and just have fun and actually be a child for once and actually have so many free events. It's pretty ridiculous and pretty inspiring for the town. But for me, I went there, and I really much proposed that, hey, I'm ready to help the town in any possible way. If there's any schools I can talk to, if the town is running any events, if there's any type of volunteering opportunities for me, I'm ready to give back if I can. I'm not asking for any money. That's not what the whole purpose is. If I'm able to inspire one kid out of, you know, the hundreds and thousands of kids in Cicero, that I've done my job, and that's all I want
to
do.
What's it like to go back to Combat Do after training away for so long, winning a big title fight?
It's painful and really cool. The only reason I say it's painful is because every time, at least the last two times I've come back, I've been injured. So I've been limping the past two times. but I'm carrying both my belts. And I went to the kids' class, and they're like, Shorty, oh my God. But they're hugging me. Accidentally hit my leg. They're grabbing my belts. I'm like, oh my God, oh, these kids are crazy. And then they want to take pictures and just having a good time. So it's really cool to, you know, my gym has 10 belts and my banner up on the wall, all my amateur belts. And then I walk in with two really, really legit belts, really heavy belts. And these kids start to go like, oh, when I grow up, I want that corner. That's my side where my belts are going to be. You know, we had a guy who's actually my age that won his first belt, Julio Palma. And it's like, now he's starting to believe in himself now too. It's like, hey man, that's one of many. You're going to start getting that. And then eventually you can turn pro as well and get your own belts too. And it's really inspiring to know that I'm, you know, the, in a sense, the leader of my team of, hey man, if Shorty can do it, I can do it too. And he's coming in with all these belts. We've seen how he acted as a teenager. We saw how he acted as a kid. Man, I act just like him. Or if not, I'm definitely a lot more mature. I'm pretty sure most of those kids are a lot more mature than I was. But it's cool to see them getting inspired by the things I bring back, and I'm able to show them that I can do it.
Do you think Combat Dough or another gym in Chicago could become a major MMA haven the way like an American Top Team or Jackson Wink or AKA or Rufus Sport?
Yeah, you know, Combat Dough has been around for 25 years. Just sadly, we haven't gotten any type of huge notoriety left. You know, in those years, we had Shoni Carter, Terry Martin, Mike Russo. But for me, I believe I'm the biggest thing coming out of my gym right now. And I'm one of the biggest prospects around the world at the flyweight division outside the UFC. So I'm really hoping that with me moving up and having my coach, Master Bob Shermer, at my corner every single fight, no matter where I travel and train with Dwayne, Ludwig, Mark Munoz, Chris Darrow, and whoever I train with, I want to be able to know that that's my coach and he's at my corner. And, you know, he deserves that notoriety because everything I've been able to do, I might not have the bodies in my gym, but everything I do in my fights, he's taught me. And I've been able to train and challenge some of the best and actually get paid to train with some of the best. One of them being TJ, you know, helping him for the John Lineker fight and just knowing that what my coach has taught me here, without having the bodies, I've been able to do against some of the best in the world. So now being able to train with the best bodies in the world, I'm just excited to see what I can do next in the UFC.
And hopefully there's a Chicago event coming soon.
Yeah, that'd be
the summer.
I feel like that's the ultimate plan. That's why they're not calling me.
It's been a couple of years.
I haven't fought in Chicago in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be huge, huge, huge deal for me.
And TJ had a world title defense in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So
in his second fight against Burrell.
Yeah. It's they didn't do one this past summer. They normally, it seems like they've been doing the end of July one. So maybe this summer again.
Hopefully.
Now, you also have or are trying to get going a podcast with your nutritionist, Lou.
Yeah, Lou.
what's the update there?
So Lou Trish and I definitely want to start a podcast called Emotionally Unstable, which I believe fits us both very well. We're known as Big and Little Spoon. I obviously am the Little Spoon. So my problem was, he's like, all right, cool. We'll get it done when I get the logo. We'll start it when I get the logo. I'm like, all right, cool. He says he has a friend who's going to do the logo. 6 months later, logo's never made. I've been calling him, and it's just been just pretty much delaying and pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. And then we talked, you know, during this fight camp when I was in Jersey for 2 weeks. And, you know, I have my own guy working on the logo now. So hopefully once the logo's done in the next few weeks, you know, definitely get this podcast going and just having a lot of fun. You know, we're going to do hopefully about a half an hour podcast of, you know, the sandwich theory of talking about random things, talking about what the actual message is, and then ending it with just having some fun. You know, so it's definitely going to be a lot of fun in the podcast, but we're going to talk about real things. You ever listen to System of a Down? You know, System of a Down, where you don't know what the song is until they get to the chorus and you're like, oh, okay, now I get it. And then it's back to the randomness. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Lou's watching.
Oh, no.
He commented in the comments. He says you look like you've been cheating a little bit more than usual. He didn't use that exact words, but that's the basics of what he said.
It's a nutrition diet.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, there's some questions that we didn't get to in the chat that I wanted to get to. Somebody asked, best flyweight outside of the UFC that's not yourself.
That's not myself. I think one guy that outside the UFC. I was going to say Ben Neuyoung because I think he's a great fighter. But outside the UFC, I really don't know. I haven't really been paying attention. I think a lot of people wanted me to fight. What was one of the tough finalists? I think he was from New Zealand. He's a Tiger Muay Thai guy. Kai something. A lot of people were tagging him and I together saying that we should fight both in the UFC, which, hey, I think he's a good fighter. I think he knocked out the tall Alaskan in his first fight.
Yeah. I'm looking it up now because it's going to drive me insane.
Sorry that I don't know your name.
Oh, my God. There's so many names. I can't remember which one it was. He fought, who's the Alaskan guy? What was his name? I don't know. We'll get it. We'll drop it in the chat later. Sorry.
We know who it is. We know who it is, but yeah.
Lou says, Lou said, no, I said he looks fat. And he says, you look healthy, Mike. Great. I think that might be switched.
I think Lou is just delusional from all the drugs he has to take after his surgery. Yeah. he just had shoulder surgery and, he's definitely recovering from that. So I think right now him and I are both bulking. Yeah, we're definitely just trying to bulk together and get ready for 145, 155.
Chicago in winter, you have to.
No, you have to bulk. You have no choice. That's why I'm only wearing a sweater. I think it's awesome right now.
If you don't, you'll freeze to death. Mm-hmm. And we also have another question. What is your favorite discipline to train? Boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or something else?
Oh man, I think I don't know which one's more exciting. My favorite two are boxing and judo, just because I believe they're the most fan entertaining. You know, for me, I like putting on the show. If I can get a knockout, that's always the best thing. If not, drop an opponent, get him close, you know, demonstrate some Muay Thai, which I definitely showed in my last fight with the elbows and knees. But being able to do a big throw, you know, I had a nice lateral on my fight defending a takedown. If I can put something, you know, like a big throw, slam someone on his face and really finish a fight on the ground and pound, I think that's awesome. So boxing and judo are my favorite too.
And we had a question, but I've lost it. But basically, it was something, who could win in a fight? Judge Dredd? Mm-hmm. Am I getting that right? Versus Alien versus Predator.
Oh, that's actually a really tough one.
Yeah, I got that.
Alien Predator are two different characters. If it's Predator versus Judge Dredd.
It's like a three-way
fight, maybe. If it's a three-way fight, man, it'd probably be Predator. He's kind of a cheater, you know. He has that little explosive at the end. I don't really watch much Judge Dredd, so I don't know too much about him.
I have no idea who Judge Dredd is. Is that bad?
Who played him? It's a good movie, though. From what I know, it's a good movie.
I'll have to check it out.
Very now, gory, bloody movie.
We were talking about your social media earlier before the show started. Let everybody know where they can follow you.
Yeah, please. If anyone wants to support me, Instagram is Jose Shorty Torres, Twitter Shorty Torres 125, and Facebook Jose Shorty Torres, little quotations around Shorty. If anyone wants to buy and purchase any merchandise, 20% of the funding usually goes to the kids in my gym when they have big events, like if they're going down to Florida to compete or Iowa for Muay Thai tournaments, stuff like that. So teamshorty.com, I really appreciate all the love and support, guys. Again, I couldn't do this without you, and that's why I always do say we can, we will, together we are Team Shorty. And I just appreciate the time, and just thank you so much, guys. Except for you, Lou. Forget you.
And I think it's remarkable somebody who's still trying to get into the UFC and whose career is just beginning is already giving like a percentage of their merchandise revenues to children.
As long as I have enough money to live, I'm happy. I don't need money, fame, and all these things to make me happy. As long as I have enough money to live and I'm able to give back and have give kids the same, if not a lot more opportunity than what I had, I'm more than happy for that.
All right. That's Jose Shorty Torres again. It's on the screen, but at Shorty Torres 125 on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/Jose Shorty Torres if you want to just type it and go straight in there. And make sure to tune in to Titan FC 47 to watch him commentate and see if he talks about how exhausted he is from the toy drive. And then tweet him during the show to let him know how wrinkled his suit is from being on the plane and at the hospital all day.
Not excited.
Yeah. Maybe you get like one of those steamers. You can get it pressed. That'd
be actually, I think Showdown Joe has it.
Maybe Lex will have an iron backstage for you.
Lex don't even like me that much. We'll see.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. And thank you, everyone, for watching. And we're always here every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you next time.
Mike and myself, not Elias.